You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton. And joining me now, a couple of performers who've got a big show coming up this weekend at Theater B in Moorhead. Tim Larson and Jacob Harchie are Theater B ensemble members. And their show is Tim and Jacob Are Friends, Scriptless. That's the important word. Improvisational theater is about to be sprung on us. Tim, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And Jacob, it's a pleasure to see you again.
Always a pleasure, sir.
Jacob and I shared a stage in Hamlet not so long ago, although it seems like a very long time ago,
oh, yeah,
considering what we've all been through. Well, pardon my pun, Tim, but how did this show come to be?
Yeah. Well, Jacob and I have been doing improv together for about 20-some years now. And as ensemble members at B, I think Theater B, you know, has a lot of shows they do that kind of fit within a certain type, right? Traditional plays, and we're always looking for opportunity to try new things, and having a love for improv, it was only a matter of time, I think, before we could pitch the group, hey, we want to do this show. And it seemed like a great time, kind of coming out of the pandemic. I think there's a need for shows that are a little bit easier to do. And what's easier than improv, I guess, at least in terms of production.
Sets,
right.
Props.
Right.
Could be a little stressful for the improvisers, however. Jacob, how would you describe improvisational theater to somebody who's never experienced it?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I would describe it as trusting. They have to just go in and be willing to kind of play the game with you and realize that it's all coming right now from your imagination. I guess I would describe improv to someone that doesn't know what it is as it's a relationship with the audience where they provide an idea, but the performer creates a scene.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I've heard jazz music a lot,
yeah,
right? It's something that's kind of free-flowing and you're not quite sure where it's going to end up. But hopefully when it's done, it makes something beautiful.
There might be a theme in there that you get back to.
Right.
In the meantime, you're going to have your moment, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you've worked together before in improv, and that helps, doesn't it?
Definitely. Yeah. So, you know, 20 years ago, Jacob and I went to Fargo South High School here in Fargo, and we both at that time, I think Whose Line Is It Anyway? Just started airing on television.
That was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. And so as high schoolers, we were like, wait, what is this? And it totally captured our attention. And a bunch of us at the school started to just meet after school in the theater kind of on our own time. And that eventually developed into a actual club, the Don Quixote's Improvsicles, which is still there at South today, 22 years
it's
later.
It's so cool that legacy is still there.
Yeah. So we were doing that, and that just kind of has stuck with us ever since. Jacob and I have been part of the Fargo Moorhead Linebenders, and then we both, you know, done improv in other ways and other venues over time. But, you know, I would say my relationship with Jacob is probably, when I look back now, one of the older improv relationships that I have. So it worked out that the two of us could kind of get together and want to do a show like this where it's a little more challenging. Just one other person on stage with you the whole time.
Now, anybody who's been through formal actor training knows that improvisation is a piece of that that's commonly used to sort of help people free themselves, use their imagination, get creative in front of an audience, that kind of thing. What you're talking about here, Jacob, is long-form improvisation. Now, what I just described would be short-form improvisation.
Sure.
You're not doing an hour show in an acting class. So describe the difference.
I would say that a lot of times long-form, short-form improv to me I think is really looking for the laugh.
Okay.
You're trying to find that game where it's like, oh, this person wants to leave. I'm not going to let them leave. Now that's the game. That's the conflict, and you're working around this short, maybe 10 to 5-minute scene looking for the laugh. Find a good button and then end it. With long form, I think the only modus operandi is to just really live in the character, feel the character's emotions, and let the scene build around the relationship between your scene partner. It doesn't have to be funny. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It could be maybe boring. But I think that's how life works. I think that's how a song or even a script works. It's like there's tension and release. There has to be hills and valleys. Otherwise, if you're always at an 8 laughing, even if you laugh at a 10, it just doesn't feel as good.
Right.
But if you create some tension and you bring us down a little bit into that negative zone, and then we can come up and laugh, even if it's a 6, I think that's really more rewarding. So I think long-form improv is focusing more on just genuine scene work and not necessarily going for a laugh.
Yeah.
Jacob Harchie and Tim Larson are Theater B ensemble members. They'll be the stars in the upcoming show at Theater B this Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock. Tim and Jacob are friends, scriptless. You can see it online, so you can go to theaterb.org and, you know, go to the box office and figure out how much you want to contribute to the performance. Or you can actually go to the theater, although there is a very limited capacity at Theater B because, of course, we have these pandemic protocols in effect. Tim, how do you rehearse improv, and what is the role of director Tucker Lucas in helping you through this process?
Great question. So rehearsing improv for Jacob and I is really probably just getting together and allowing each other freedom to kind of just explore ideas. You know, with improv, it's a lot about getting a suggestion from an audience and using that as inspiration to create these scenes. And so a lot of times it's understanding, trying to learn how to trust each other more, get an understanding of where Jacob might be taking something and trying to lean into that. You know, I think the rule for improv, the most common one everybody knows is, you know, yes and, always agree, right? And so getting more trust with each other, understanding that I have no idea what Jacob is doing right now, but I'm going to go with it. And so we do a lot of that. We've, because of the pandemic, we've rehearsed in my basement at my house, right? Just the two of us. And my wife is in the other room saying, why are they yelling at each other? You know, but it's a lot of that. And then in terms of Tucker, Tucker is there to kind of be one, you know, just from a technical standpoint, Theater B trying to be able to share this to people who maybe aren't comfortable leaving the house for a show like this yet, and making sure technically we're prepared to stream it out live. But also he's there to kind of make sure that we have what we need as performers to put the best show on possible. So if there's props or anything that we need, he's been doing an awesome job to really help us out there.
Yeah.
So Jacob, does Tucker then throw out ideas like the audience would and have you riff on them? Or?
Yeah, basically. Like we kind of have a format where we build a rapport with the audience. And then based on that conversation, we're listening, we're mining maybe keywords or emotions. And yeah, so Tucker is really great to have someone in the room to kind of bounce your ideas off of, to say, okay, we were trying this. It didn't feel great for me, but I was in it. So I'm living it. Like, how was it from your perspective? And then there's a little bit of a conversation about, you know, I think it's like maybe where to put your energy, you know, and how to try to craft a scene. And I think that's what Tucker does for us, is kind of says like, oh, maybe you went a little too far there off the rails. And, you know, he has a good way of keeping the reins in on me.
Yeah.
Of course, the worst part of being a stand-up comedian is the heckler, although right. Some comedians feed off it. Maybe it helps their comedy, you know, because they've got something ready for that rude audience member. But the audience does have an important role in improvisation. They're part of the act in a sense. So
totally. Yeah.
what do you hope for, Tim, from an improv audience?
I mean, the best thing is that they're interactive and that their suggestions are, I guess as an improviser, not ordinary. I love the unusual. You know, we could do an improv show right now at a couple different bars throughout North Dakota, and there's a good chance a couple suggestions would probably be the same, right? You might get the president's name thrown out. You might get, you know,
local
COVID
scandal,
or something,
COVID,
right?
Yep.
But the stuff that – and so we can almost expect some of those things sometimes. But when we get suggestions that are out of the ordinary, that's like a challenge for us and exciting for us, I think, to play with that stuff.
Now, really good improvisers are so good, frankly, that sometimes you think, I kind of scripted. And you two have been together. You've been doing this for 20 years, you say. So you probably know some of the characters or the sort of the directions that you've gone before that have been, you know, pretty good veins to work. Give us a sense of the give and take part, which is so essential to improv, about, you know, kind of the wink and the nod that keeps the show going.
Yeah, you know, I think you bring up an extreme point because I think, you know, like an instrument, here we are and, you know, a saxophone can only make saxophone sounds. So me as a performer, you know, I'm 5'7", you know, like right. I will only be me. And so the voices and the characters that come from me, I guess you might find them in like an old treasure chest that I have kept there, my go-tos. But I think the wink and the nod comes to that trust that you were talking about, where you have to let go and you can't go to your comfort zone. I can't go to my old pirate that I love to do. Like, no, you know, I have to live right now for the audience because they're trusting us. They're trusting us not to lie to them. And I don't want to. I think, you know, they came to see something that's never been done, will never be done before, and that's what I want to give them. And I can't walk off stage feeling like I have artistic integrity if I've just gone and pulled out some old bit that I know crushes. And that to me is not improv. If they came to a comedy show, I would [S2] Right. [S1] Say, hey, this is a comedy show. Then I'm not really responsible. But if it's an improv show, I think it's really important to me.
It's about organically coming to the character, right? You may have that pirate that works really well, but just throwing it out because he knows a pirate voice is going to land doesn't work. But if organically the scene gets to a place where, oh, this is a perfect opportunity for a pirate to walk in, right? Then Jacob's going to pull it.
Yeah,
exactly. Then we're going to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, a scripted play has scenes that have sort of a curve to them. They have a beginning, a middle, and an end. The play in general does too. So how do you know when the beat or the scene has ended, Tim?
Well, we definitely take cues off of the audience sometimes to find those moments. But I think that's probably where long form is a little bit different than short form improv sometimes, where there's not always necessarily an ending, a defined strong ending, but there are beats or just buttons to things, right? It's how life is. You know, life, there's not always an ending to something or a feeling that a person has, but there are chapters that conclude. And I think that's probably what an audience might experience at this particular show is that, you know, we're showing vignettes, little moments, and hopefully they come together to tell a larger story. But is it going to all wrap up to perfect resolution? We do our best.
Yeah, exactly. It's improv.
Well, Jacob, will you have little costume elements or props that the audience might want to have you employ?
That's a great question. When we first were rehearsing, we were working on our structure. You know, like what makes this our long-form improv show instead of some of your Heralds and some of your more well-known formats? And one thing that I was like is maybe we should just have a big table of random stuff on it. And that way – if the character is called to it, or maybe we could start a scene with a teddy bear.
Right.
And then you kind of have this monologue and then the other character could come in and now you've built this something together.
Yeah.
But I think we decided that we were just going to strip it all away. Super simple set. We've got two chairs and two 2-foot by 2-foot boxes.
Right. Yeah, and I think this is a bit of an experiment for Jacob and I to do this this particular show together. And you know, our hope would be that over time we can continue to do a two-person show like this. And with the audience, it'll probably evolve, right? There could be props down the road. There could be a totally way of us getting suggestions from the audience. And so we're kind of learning as we go. And even the format of the show is improvised a little bit over time.
Well, I think we've seen this actually in other forms of entertainment. And I'm thinking specifically right now, for example, of the movie Nomadland, which Frances McDormand captured an Oscar for that. That movie had real people playing real people themselves.
Yeah.
And there were large chunks of that movie that were literally improvised.
Right.
That is, the director rolled the camera and Frances and whoever was on the in the frame with her, interacted in a way that was not scripted. It was perhaps described. This is our objective in the scene, but the words are yours, and the direction is largely yours too.
Yeah.
So sometimes improv, as we've mentioned before, can be serious.
Right. Yeah, and that's a good example too, right, in that movie, because there's these moments of just real life that's playing out, and yet when you're watching the movie, there's a couple moments that I think the audience laughs at, something a character says or something that happens. And there's a rule in comedy or in improv that we say a lot, which is truth in comedy. It's if Jacob and I go up on stage and we're trying to make the jokes,
it'll never land.
The audience senses that.
Yeah.
But if the humor comes organically through, you know, just strong characters who have strong points of view, things like that, then the comedy really comes out. So that's what we're hoping to attain.
There's a reality to this too that I think sometimes gets forgotten. And we are all human beings living our lives in the moment. We are improvising.
Oh, yeah.
Every day, everything that comes out of our mouths is, you know, something I'm saying because I want to say this. And I'm looking at you to see how you react to it,
totally.
Which is what improvisers do.
Yeah.
So there is something kind of deep and human about this exercise as well. So how do you prepare the audience for it? Because they, again, are so important to this. Do you have a sort of a set routine that gets them ready to, you know, be creative?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think you're right with the whole audience is a big portion of most improv shows. With this particular one, I think because it is long form, we're going to be going to the audience much less.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of right away, we're going to kind of talk to them about what they're about to see, let them know that, yeah, there might be some scenes that are low energy, maybe somber, maybe even sad. But we're trying to take your ideas and bring us all the way to a conclusion. So there might be highs and lows. How would I prepare the audience? I would just say, like, trust us. We're going to be stewards of your imagination and your time. And
yeah, I think, you know, traditionally, I guess for somebody who's listening who's not that familiar with improv, right, short form sometimes relies on a lot more games that are played within some sort of a structure, whereas long form is we're going to get a couple suggestions from the audience and then we might not go back to them for, you know, 45 minutes.
Okay.
Right? And so I think what we're hoping is that the audience connects with the connections we're making based off of our early conversations with them, and how, you know, hopefully it's shown on stage as to where our inspiration is coming from. I think that's probably it.
So. Jacob, you said that, you know, you got this pirate character that occasionally flies out of there.
Sure.
But that gets to the other thing, that you're talking about this long-form improvisation. Will you be maintaining a character for the extent of the evening, the performance? Or will you be changing age, gender, nationality, all of these other things?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the beauty of this format is if we started the show – and we got a suggestion that we needed a protagonist. We needed a single note that went through the whole piece. Then I guess we would do it. We would just realize whether Tim's playing it or I'm playing Greg or whatever, Greg needs to be there. And so maybe they would be through every scene. But because it's loose, we basically have a loose format where we take the suggestions, we do a scene, just whatever. It could be whatever you want. Then we do a completely non-connected scene. Two new characters, a different situation, try a different scene, not connected at all. And now we've created these three kind of pockets in this world. And now it's like, okay, well, was anything interesting there? Or could maybe a character from scene A meet with character C? Or like in scene C, right. Would that be interesting? So yeah, we'll be changing gender. We'll be changing characters. We'll be changing everything.
Yeah. But again, it's all organic. So if it seems like, you know, we start out the show and we have these two characters on stage and only one of them is interesting, you know, that's the one that might show up in the next scene. We kind of have to be in touch with what's working with the audience, what is working for us, what characters we find interesting. The last thing we want to do is, you know, explore something that's boring, right?
So. Yeah, and the audience doesn't want you to either.
Right, exactly.
So that's sort of the complication there. So is this a a 45-minute show, an hour show, or does it end when, you know, the sun rises?
It could. Yeah. No, I think we try to shoot for about the 45-minute to probably an hour show, right, mm-hmm. is what the experience is. Again, we could go over a little bit. We could go – if it's all organic, and I keep using that word because where when it feels like we've come to a moment where – things should wrap and there's a bow on it. Hopefully that's where we end.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Tim Larson and Jacob Harchi are Theater B ensemble members. They are the two stars of the upcoming Tim and Jacob Are Friends Scriptless, which will take place at Theater B Friday and Saturday. The show is at 8 o'clock. There will be an audience present, but again, go online and check out the box office to see whether there are available seats in the theater. Online, you can watch it anywhere and as many people as possible. Again, it's a pay-as-you-go show that is you can choose between $5 and $50 a ticket. And, of course, Theater B would love your contributions. Tim and Jacob, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you
so much, Doug.
Yeah.
Decoded 8 Book is next.